Welcome. You are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. This recording is intended to be used solely by individuals with barriers to print.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the November 1st, 2023 reading of The Environment, a selection of articles from Mother Earth News, The Nature Conservancy, and the Sierra Club magazine. My name is John. Today, we'll be reading the following main articles. New House Speaker Mike Johnson holds extreme views on climate change and science. Written by Delaney Nolan of the Sierra Club magazine. Our other main article this afternoon, Homemade Tea for Colds, from Mother Earth News, written by Kathleen Jade. And on with our first article. New House Speaker Mike Johnson holds extreme views on climate change and science. Louisiana legislators and progressive activists warn that Johnson's polite demeanor masks dangerous ideas. Written by Delaney Nolan. Since Republican Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana was elected as Speaker of the House last week, journalists and D.C. politicos have been scrambling to learn more about the formerly obscure politician described by a former colleague as a background guy. We already know that Johnson, who was first elected to the Louisiana House of Representatives in 2015 and won election to Congress the following year, is a determined Donald Trump supporter and helped organize the effort to overturn the 2020 election. He's also a climate science skeptic who has already, in his short term as Speaker, helped pass a bill that would cut renewable funding from the Inflation Reduction Act and is a major recipient of campaign donations from the oil and gas sector, which has given him more than $330,000 since 2015. Meanwhile, legislators and progressive advocates from his home state of Louisiana sketch a fuller and more disturbing image and warn that behind Johnson's genial demeanor lurk extreme views that are out of step with much of the American mainstream. John Delgado, a former Baton Rouge Metro Council member who was critical of Johnson when he was still a state representative, said Johnson's climate skepticism is born out of evangelical dispensationalist belief, the idea that the end of times herald the second coming of Christ. There are people who just want to see the world burn because they are waiting for the next one, Delgado told Sierra. He explained that those who are eager for the rapture want it, the world, to end sooner, and so they're not going to care about the environment, they're not going to care about the coastline, they're not going to care about rising ocean temperatures. When you talk about climate change, Delgado said, he, Johnson, truly does not care. Representative Troy Carter, a Democrat from Louisiana, also expressed concerns about Johnson's view on climate change. There is no doubt that climate change is real, Representative Carter's office said in a statement sent to Sierra. Just look at Louisiana's recent struggle with saltwater intrusion in the Mississippi River and the wildfires, excessive heat, flooding, mudslides, tornadoes, and natural disasters we're experiencing globally. Carter added that he plans to steadfastly oppose and challenge Johnson's ideas on these important issues. Jack Sweeney of the New Orleans chapter of Democratic Socialists of America said Johnson's views hurt his own home state of Louisiana, which is acutely vulnerable to the effects of the climate crisis. He's specifically opposed to things like wind and solar, saying that they're inefficient sources of energy, which is pretty remarkably ignorant, Sweeney said. He further described Johnson's stance on wind turbines as bizarre and conspiratorial. Johnson was chairing the Republican Study Committee when it claimed that wind turbines cause headaches, anxiety, depression, and cognitive dysfunction. That claim is apparently based on commentary written not by scientists, but by a Canadian family physician along with a retired pharmacist and an accountant. Johnson's most recent financial disclosures concerns a 2022 fundraiser by CRES PAC, formerly Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions, who frame themselves as conservatives in support of clean energy, but whose platform includes the need to keep our natural gas supply growing. Nikki Reich, director of the Climate and Energy Program at the Center for International Environmental Law, decried seeing an avowed climate denier beholden to the fossil fuel industry at the helm. She told Sierra, "Giving Mike Johnson a platform for his pro-oil, anti-human rights agenda puts our collective future in greater peril." Sweeney complained that while Johnson has not championed legislation that would improve the lives of his constituents, like raising the minimum wage, he's gone out of his way to defend, in court and otherwise, groups that believe the Earth is 6,000 years old. Sweeney was referring to Speaker Johnson's advocacy on behalf of the Ark Encounter theme park and Creation Museum in Kentucky. Jackson Voss, a Louisiana native and former policy advocate in D.C., encountered Johnson's staff during his time as a legislative staffer. Voss, now a policy coordinator at the Alliance for Affordable Energy, described Johnson's views as being anti-science on issues ranging from climate change to reproductive and mental health. Voss also echoed Delgado's impression of Johnson that his positions are influenced less by politics than by a deep conviction in Christian fundamentalism. His convictions are extreme, said Voss, but they are sincerely held. Johnson, who has advocated for public schools to teach the Bible as an accurate record of history, is opposed to reproductive rights and LGBTQ equality. While serving as a state legislator, he received a $400,000 contract to defend the state law he helped pass, which restricted abortion access. He has also written in favor of criminalizing gay sex. According to Johnson's previous campaign disclosure filings, he has been a board member of Freedom Guard Incorporated, a nonprofit contending for the Christian faith through legislation, as well as Living Waters Publications, which offers biblical evangelism training camps. In 2018, he received between $25,000 and $100,000 for private pastoral counseling services from his wife's company. He was previously board president of Providence Classical Academy, which offers an education founded upon a biblical worldview, including creationism. The Academy's website states, "In contrast to modern education, we use old, proven methods of reading old, influential books." Louisianans who spoke to Sierra said it is very likely that Johnson was able to claim the speaker's gavel because, unlike the equally extreme but more pugnacious Jim Jordan of Ohio, he is so consistently nice and polite. Voss recalls encountering Johnson's equally polite staff, but said he believes the politeness is very strategic, as it puts a palatable face on extreme views. Voss says he has a feeling that many of his, Johnson's, colleagues are not actually very familiar with his positions. Otherwise, I have a feeling they would have hesitated to make him Speaker of the House. Justin Soleil, a longtime environmental justice organizer from Louisiana, likewise expressed concern that Johnson is putting a polite face on a terrifying aspect of the Republican platform. "It's frightening to see," he added. Soleil described Johnson as a zealot and asked if Johnson's vision were realized in Louisiana, we would turn into Gilead, a reference to the fascist ethno-state in Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. Sweeney added, "Mike Johnson's ideology, beliefs, and policy positions carried to their natural conclusion would result in a South Louisiana that is a little more than an industrial enclave not suitable for human habitation." Soleil said that Johnson's views are not representative of what many Louisianans want for their state. "This is not the Louisiana I was raised in," he said, noting that he's scared for the future of the state. "The Louisiana I grew up in was the Louisiana where communities cared about each other. They cared about the land that they lived on and the water that they drank." Johnson will turn Louisiana back 50 to 100 years, Soleil warned. Between Johnson, Governor-elect Jeff Landry, and Representative Steve Scalise, you have the three knights of hell in charge, and they're going to burn this place to the ground. Well, no doubt where the Sierra stands on Mike Johnson. And here's an addendum to that article. Some questions for House Speaker Mike Johnson. The D.C. press corps should push them on these issues, among others. "Who's Mike Johnson?" became one of the most popular news headlines last week as the nation scrambled to understand more about the guy who has suddenly gone from a House of Representatives backbencher and fifth-string leader to one of the most powerful elected officials in the nation. Since Johnson, a Republican from Louisiana, received the Speaker's gavel, reporters have sussed out that he's a skeptic of climate change science, a recipient of major campaign donations from the oil and gas industry, and backer of what's known as young Earth creationism. With Johnson's lifetime score of just 2% from the League of Conservative Voters, environmentalists have every reason to be skeptical and on guard. As the person who is second in line to assume the presidency, Johnson has an obligation to the American people to be straight about what he stands for. So here are some questions we at Sierra hope the D.C. press corps will ask of Speaker Johnson in the coming weeks. Do you agree with the overwhelming scientific consensus that human activities, especially the burning of coal, oil, and gas, and deforestation, are the principal drivers of global warming? If not, what do you think is responsible for the record-breaking high temperatures and extreme weather events that have occurred this century? Do you believe that the theory of evolution and natural selection is the best explanation for the wondrous diversity of life on Earth? How old do you believe planet Earth is? Do you believe that dinosaurs and humans occupied the planet at the same time? With which of these statements do you agree? Protection of the environment should be given priority, even at the risk of curbing economic growth, or economic growth should be given priority, even if the environment suffers to some extent. Do you know how much money you have received from the oil and gas industries since you were first elected to Congress? Do you believe that Joe Biden is the duly and fairly elected president of the United States? If not, can you provide any evidence that the 2020 election was unfairly rigged? How would you describe your feelings about climate change? Alarmed, concerned, cautious, doubtful, or dismissive? And finally, is pineapple an acceptable topping on pizzas? Wrong answers only, please. And our next article is rather timely, considering the cold snap of earlier this week. From Mother Earth News, homemade tea for colds. Sipping on medicinal herbal tea is one of the best ways you can take to shorten the duration of an upper respiratory infection. This article was written by Kathleen Jade. When we're suffering from a bad cold, nothing makes us feel like we're taking care of ourselves more than a steaming cup of herbal tea, particularly if it contains medicinal herbs. Sipping on medicinal herbal tea is one of the best steps you can take to shorten the duration of illness when the symptoms of a cold, sore throat, or other upper respiratory infection begin. Fortunately, medicinal tea for colds is widely available these days. We don't even need to live near a health food store. Many supermarkets and drugstores now sell herbal blends formulated to treat a variety of conditions, including tea for colds, sore throats, coughs, and general immune support. However, while these pre-blended teas, generally sold in tea bags, often contain at least a couple of herbs with known medicinal properties, the medicinal herbs are not always in high enough quantities to have much impact. Furthermore, when medicinal tea ingredients are blended together in tea bags, they can be properly infused or decocted to optimally extract the active constituents. A much better option is to make your own tea for colds by using one of the following herbal tea recipes and using the correct infusion and decoction techniques for the specific herbs in your tea. What are medicinal infusions and decoctions? Tea is the most common type of herbal extract. It is essentially a water-based herbal extract. Making tea is one of the simplest ways to separate the active healing herb constituents from the inactive fibrous matter. There are two basic ways to prepare medicinal tea, infusion and decoction. Broadly speaking, an infusion is made by combining hot water with medicinal herbs and steeping to extract their active ingredients. A decoction, meanwhile, is made by adding the ingredients to boiling water and simmering them. Which method to use depends mostly on the herb itself and the part of it being used. Although there are exceptions, the base rule of thumb is that infusions are used for delicate and less dense parts of the plant, such as flowers, leaves, and green stems. Decoctions are used to prepare tea from hard and woody plant materials, such as roots, barks, and some seeds or hard fruits. The actual methods for properly infusing and decocting herbs vary and depend on the ingredients themselves, whether they are fresh or dry, how are they cut or crushed, the quantity and strength of the tea to be made, and the goals for the treatment. However, there are some basic guidelines that can generally be followed if specific dosages are not given. To make an infusion, use 1 teaspoon of dried herb per 1 cup of water. Warm a glass, porcelain, or stainless steel vessel and put the dry herb into it. Pour boiling water over the herbs. Cover the vessel with a tight-fitting lid to ensure that only a minimum of the aromatic volatile oils are lost through evaporation. Steep for 15 minutes. Recommended time might vary. Strain the infusion to drink. To make a decoction, put 1 teaspoon of dried plant parts, powdered or broken into smaller pieces to break the cell walls and facilitate extraction, for each cup water into a non-aluminum pot or saucepan. Add the appropriate amount of water to the herbs, bring the water to boiling, turn down the heat, and simmer, covered, for 15 minutes. Remove from heat, strain, and drink. Important exceptions to the infusion decoction rule. One important exception to this basic rule is for woody herbs, roots, and seeds that are rich in significant volatile oils such as valerian root and fennel seeds. In this case, boiling will cause evaporation of important volatile constituents. For herbs like this, it is best to crush or even powder them finely and make an infusion. Another exception is for herbs that don't tolerate heat at all. For those herbs, such as elecampane root, a great remedy for colds with coughs, cold infusions are best. For cold infusions, you steep in cold water for extended periods of time to extract the constituents without damaging them. Oftentimes, a medicinal tea formula will contain a combination of herbs, some of which should be decocted and some infused. Another basic rule of botanical medicine is that when preparing a medicinal tea containing both soft and woody herbs, it is best to prepare an infusion for the soft herbs and decoction for the firm herbs separately. This ensures that the active constituents of the more delicate herbs are not destroyed and that the soluble constituents from the tougher, woodier herbs are appropriately extracted. Herbal tea infusion for acute cold care. David Hoffman, author of Medicinal Herbalism, a foundational textbook on the scientific principles of botanical medicine used in Bastyr University's herbal sciences classes, has a favorite herbal remedy for acute colds. This tea for colds is ideal when there is much inflammation and mucus production in the upper respiratory tract. 1 part black elder, the dried flower, 1 part yarrow, dried flowers, leaves, and stems, and 1 part peppermint, the dried leaves. Combine equal parts of each herb, for instance, 1 ounce of each. Infuse 2 teaspoons mixed herbs per 1 cup water, for instance, 4 teaspoons in 2 cups of water. Covered for 15 minutes. Strain and drink hot, often until symptoms pass. Additional herbs for infusion. When I was a naturopathic medical student, some of my botanical medicine instructors recommended additional herbs that could be added to the herbs above to enhance the infusion. Hyssop. This plant from the mint family has a slightly bitter, sharp, spicy flavor and is traditionally used for colds and flu. Use 2 parts. Herba santa. This sweet or aromatic herb is used for colds or any condition in which there is cough with poor expectoration. Thyme, the dried flower and leaf. You know this aromatic herb well for its culinary importance, but thyme is also a powerful antimicrobial that also acts as an expectorant and antispasmodic, making it great for coughs associated with colds and bronchitis. Linden, dried flower and leaf. This slightly sweet aromatic herb is a sedative and anti-inflammatory. It can be added in equal parts to the infusion recipe above when your cold symptoms are making you too irritable to sleep. Immune supportive decoction long infusion. This tea recipe comes from herbalist, author, and naturopathic Dr. Cheryl Tilgner. Although this recipe is a general immune supportive, Dr. Tilgner explains that it is specifically helpful for viral respiratory infections and can be used for the prevention and acute treatment of colds and flu. The herbs have anti-inflammatory, antiviral, lymph-stimulating, adrenal-supportive, mucus-thinning properties. 2 parts echinacea, dried root, 1 part licorice, also dried root, and 1 part osha, also dried root. This formula combines the techniques of decoction and long infusion. The echinacea and the licorice roots should be decocted, while the osha root should be infused for 25 minutes to preserve the volatile oils. Combine 2 parts of echinacea root for every 1 part licorice root. Keep the osha root separate. For acute treatment of colds, decoct 2 teaspoons echinacea licorice combination per 1 cup water in a pot with a tight-fitting lid. Bring to a boil and then turn down heat to low and simmer covered for 15 minutes. Meanwhile, infuse 1 teaspoon osha root per 1 cup boiling water covered for 25 minutes. Strain both the infusion and decoction, combine, and drink a cup of hot tea 4 to 5 times a day until the symptoms pass. For preventative long-term treatment, decrease echinacea licorice dose to 1 teaspoon per 1 cup water and decrease osha dose to 1/2 teaspoon per 1 cup water and drink 3 cups a day. Caution. Chronic large doses of licorice can raise blood pressure by increasing sodium resorption and potassium excretion by the kidney. Avoid licorice if you have pre-existing hypertension. Combining herbal tea recipes for colds. Any of the herbs mentioned above can be combined to create your own tea for colds. I hope I've given you some useful herbal tea recipes for colds and shown why making your own tea for colds using proper infusion and decoction techniques is far superior. And with our remaining time this afternoon, I'm going to do my very best to fit in an article from Sierra Club Magazine, What is the Best Sustainable and Ethical Chocolate? How to Not Get Tricked by Plastic-Free, Fair Trade, and Sugar-Free Treats. This article was written by Jessian Choi. It seems like there are more and more brands and varieties of chocolate to choose from than ever before. Many of them have labels that appeal to the green-conscious buyer, such as Fair Trade, Rainforest Alliance, UTZ, Direct Trade, and Certified Compostable. But which ones really are the best for you, the environment, and the workers who produced these tasty treats? I looked at about 600 manufacturers, grocers, cafes, personal care companies, wholesalers, and other organizations on Food Empowerment Project's chocolate list. I also sifted through a lot of products claiming to be sugar-free or vegan, and I wanted to find treats without wasteful plastic packaging, or if they claim to be compostable and plastic-free, they actually are and are not just a scam. Not all those fair trade labels actually convey just labor practices, which is disheartening. The principle of fair trade matters. Recently, investigations found child labor and slavery on cocoa farms in Western Africa and Brazil. 2.1 million children still work illegally on cocoa plantations in Ghana and the Ivory Coast, which supplies about 70% of the world's cocoa. Instead of going to school, these children are using chainsaws and machetes for 14 hours a day and spraying pesticides without protective gear. In 2001, Mars, Hershey, Nestle's, and other chocolate companies pledged to end the worst forms of child labor in their cocoa suppliers. But they missed deadlines for doing better in 2005, 2008, and 2010. And they lowered their goal to reduce child labor only by 70% in 2020. In 2020, the amount of child labor had actually increased. Unfortunately, some of the fair trade labels you see on chocolate bars may not necessarily guarantee that chocolate was ethically sourced. Well-known certifiers, such as Fairtrade International and Rainforest Alliance UTZ certifiers, are only required to visit fewer than 10% of cocoa farms, and they do not do surprise visits. Some treats freely marketed as being free of child labor and slavery might not be as ethically sourced as they claim to be. For example, Tony's Chocolony, which markets its mission to make all chocolate worldwide 100% free from exploitation, admitted in 2022 that it found 1,700 cases of child labor in its supply chain. The sugar-free labels come with caveats too. Not all sugar alternative sweeteners, such as coconut or maple sugar, have a glycemic index value of 0. Some chocolate that claims to be ketogenic or sugar-free have coconut sugar, which has a glycemic index of 54. The sweeteners that do have a glycemic index of 0 are allulose, erythritol, monk fruit, and stevia. Keep in mind that not all sugar is vegan. Sugar can be made vegan with bone char. Finally, avoid chocolate made with palm oil. Farmers often cut trees to clear land to create palm oil plantations. That takes homes away from people and wild animals like orangutans and causes landslides and flooding. We also know that deforestation has a direct impact on global warming, increasing its speed and severity. After feasting my eyes on 600 purveyors of chocolate, the one that checked off all my boxes is the Good Chocolates TGC Large Bars. They are organic with no palm oil and plastic. Some are even vegan. According to Ben Glass, the company's co-founder, consumers who want their sweet treats mailed to them can ask for no wasteful packaging. You can write in the comments to have your order shipped without cold packs or insulation or possibly in used packaging, Glass told me. Also, they pay a premium to farmers through direct trade instead of paying that premium to fair trade certifiers. That's all the time we have this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us for the reading of The Environment. My name is John.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aincolorado.org or by calling 303-786-7777.